the story that never grows old. And that is true of the Christmas story, the Advent, the prophecy, the coming of God's child into this world in a magnificent way to bring about the salvation for a world that is lost in darkness and sin. There are so many stories that we know that we get tired of hearing. They're boring. We all have that relative at a gathering that wants to tell and live those old glory days, and you just get so tired of hearing them. But when you come to what God did through Jesus Christ and his plan of salvation to redeem the world, you find a story that is deep and is rich, a story that we cherish, a story that brings us calm, a story that brings us good tidings, a story that fills us with peace and joy. That is the Christmas story that began in Genesis chapter 3, verse 15, was announced in Numbers 24, 17, that a star would rise out of Israel, a scepter out of Judah, and God's beautiful plan of revealing his son to the world has continued throughout history and was realized in the shepherd's fields of Bethlehem. And I want us just to look at this beautiful story together. In verse 8 of Luke chapter 2, it says, "And there were shepherds living in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night." We have this beautiful scene, this Bethlehem hillside. We see the tradition of shepherds keeping watch over their flocks, but Luke lets us know they're nearby. Nearby to what? Nearby to where the birth of Jesus Christ has taken place. And they're out in those fields, and they are there at night. And evidently, Jesus was born at night, born into the darkness of the world, which I think is a metaphor that represents the light has come into the dark world, and the darkness, which is ignorance of mankind, the darkness which represents sin, into that Jesus is born into this world. And right there in Bethlehem, he and Mary had followed the order given by Caesar Augustus, who issued the decree that a Roman census was to be taken of all the people and that all the people were to go to their hometown. And so Joseph and Mary, being of the line of David, returned to the town of David, Bethlehem. And they were there, and it was time for the baby to be born, but there was no room in the inn. The definite article, "the," points to the fact that this location of this inn, this place to stay, was something that was known to the people, but the inn, there was no room. And then it becomes a little bit of a mystery. We wonder, where was Jesus born? Some people think in a barn. Some people think in a cave, and that's where I believe Jesus was born, personally in a cave, because I've stood in that shepherd's field, and I've seen cave upon cave, and inside those caves, they are like an expanse of a house, 1,000, 2,000 foot of room just to be in with your sheep and to be in with your family. To light a fire at the entrance of the cave. It's such a beautiful, majestic scene, the town and the surroundings of Bethlehem. Why people think that Jesus was born either in a barn or a stable or a cave is because he was placed in a manger at his birth. And a manger, as we've heard again and again, is an animal feeding trough. And there are carved out stone mangers, these feeding troughs, all over the landscape of Bethlehem. And we have this beautiful, majestic, miraculous picture of shepherds in the fields at night nearby to the place where Jesus was born. I often wonder, and we'll never know, did they look off in a distance and did they see a light burning in a cave and that is what led them to find Jesus? We're not told how they found Jesus. We're just told, let us go see what we have been told. And they find everything just as the angel had shared with them. But what is most prominent in the greatest story ever told is the humble circumstances of what God did in this world. You just see this thread of humility and lowliness and humbleness run throughout this story. First, it's a baby that is born. Second, he's placed in a manger. And who does the angels appear to? They appear to lowly shepherds in the field. Shepherds were considered insignificant in many ways by the society they lived in. They were considered unclean because of their job. They couldn't go to the temple. But this time, when God chose to reveal what he had prophesied from the very beginning of Scripture, he reveals himself, his child, to lowly, insignificant shepherds on a hillside. Not to dignitaries in a palace, to lowly shepherds. Our God is a meek and lowly God. That is what is said about Jesus Christ. That is why Jesus loves and champions for our hearts to be people of humility and humbleness, because God takes the humble and he exalts and lifts them up. And that is exactly what God is doing in the lives of these shepherds in the fields of Bethlehem. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. I don't know, other than the angel came from heaven, but he seemed like he was just there in that darkness. And he was brilliant. And God's glory is what Luke tells us was shining around the shepherds in the field. But yet it was an angel that was there. This reminds me when Zechariah did not believe what Gabriel had told him. You're going to have a child. Elizabeth is going to give birth in your old age. But he doubted and said, how can I know this is true? Remember? And what does the angel Gabriel say? It is just such a powerful statement when he says, I am the angel Gabriel, and I stand in the presence of God. And he, God, has sent me here. And here in this scene, God has sent another angel. We don't know if it's Gabriel. Maybe it is. Maybe it's Michael. We don't know. But he appears in that moment, that fantastic moment. And God's glory, because he's been in the presence of God, sent by God himself for this beautiful announcement, the glory of the Lord shone around them. God is glorious. And whenever you see God throughout the Scriptures, it's either fire or lightning or great brilliance that no one can behold and look upon. It is a blinding light. And these shepherds, not expecting this to take place, not looking for it to happen, it just happened. And they're terrified. And I think any of us in this kind of situation would have been terrified, because you know something wonderful and mighty and powerful and miraculous is happening, but you just don't understand it. And then the angel said to the shepherds, do not be afraid. I bring you good news. The word good news there is where we get our word gospel. I bring you good news. Well, what about this good news? This good news will cause great joy. Well, it will cause great joy for who? It will cause great joy for all people. My brothers and sisters in Christ, those of you who are listening, wherever you are listening from, we get text messages every day that really are so unimportant. We get emails, we get direct messages, we get phone calls. And if you go back far enough and remember the sticky notes, you get messages on sticky notes that don't mean much of anything. But this message is the greatest message that has ever been announced to the world. And it is God's message from angels to lowly shepherds in the field at night that today in the town of David, a Savior is born to you. He is Christ the Lord. And He is the message of hope. He's the message of joy. And it's for all people. All people. It's for me. It's for you. It's for anyone who would hear it. It is the message that God is redeeming the world. And I hope if you're hearing this today, that you know that God has sent His Son for you, so that you can be redeemed by the life and death of this child that would grow and be obedient to his father in every way and would be obedient to death on a cross and provide through his shed blood the forgiveness of your sin when you receive and believe in his name. It is the greatest message. It is the message that we cling to in our hearts year-round. It is that message that reminds us, no matter what else happens, no matter what I have to go through, no matter what I have to face, my God loves me, my God wants me saved, and my God and your God, our God, has provided a way unto salvation, and it is through the beautiful, miraculous birth of His Son, Jesus Christ. Today in the town of David, as it had been prophesied for thousands of years, a Savior, one who saves, one who rescues, one who redeems, has been born to you all. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. A Savior has been born to you. He is the Messiah. These are Luke's favorite titles and descriptions of Jesus. Rescuer, Savior. He is Messiah, the Anointed One, the Christ in Greek. He is the Lord. Yahweh saves. He is the Savior of the world. What a humble town, Bethlehem. Do you know what Micah chapter 5, verse 2 and 4 says? This is what they say. But you, Bethlehem of Ephrathah, though you are small, though you are insignificant, among the clans of Judah, out of you will come one for me who will be the ruler over Israel. And then in verse 4, what does this ruler do? He will stand and shepherd his flock in the strength of the Lord, in the majesty of the name of the Lord his God. Jesus is the great shepherd that was prophesied as well. And just as these shepherds are symbolic in the fields watching over the flock, we see in Jesus the great shepherd, the true shepherd, the good shepherd we see in Jesus Christ himself. He shepherds our lives. He guides us. He watches over us. He nurtures us. He feeds us. He protects us. He points us to his Lord and his Father in heaven. And then, verse 12, this will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and placed in a manger. Humble shepherds, humble child, humble birth, humble setting. And here we have a feeding trough. You know, we experience when our babies are born or our grandchildren come, we want them in the best places, the most sanitized places, in the hospital with all the care. That's not what we have here. We have Mary wrap her baby in cloths of linen to keep him warm and protected, and place him in a stone trough that cows and sheep and goats would have eaten out of. Humility once again placed in a manger. I often get to this point in the story in Isaiah 55, verse 8 and 9, just swell up in me. Because Isaiah says God's ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. And as high as the heavens are above, so are his ways and his thoughts compared to mankind. It's a simple way of saying God doesn't think like us. God doesn't act like us. God doesn't do it our way. God has a plan. God is sovereign. And it's unfolding in his time and in his way. And God has shown us that the way he is revealing the Son is not the way most would have thought that would have happened. But in that, it is so beautiful. Our Savior came into this world. And after his birth, he was placed in a manger. It was a humble birth. And I praise God that he is and has sent a Savior into this world that is truly humble. We are told, humble ourselves like Jesus humbled himself. He did not consider equality with God something for him to cling to, but made himself a little lower than the angels, Philippians chapter 2. What a beautiful picture of what God has done through his Son. Then all of a sudden, suddenly the text says, a great company of heavenly hosts appeared with the angel. Now we have more than one. Some say maybe the host could be 1,000. But just like that, there's a host of angels. And think how brilliant and bright that would have been. If one angel brought the glory of the Lord and it shone around them, what would have a host of angels bring about in terms of the light of God? And they are appearing and praising God. Praising God. It seems like every time you see an angel, they're bringing a word from God. Here we have them bringing a word, the greatest word, and they're praising God. And they say, glory to God in the highest, and on earth, peace to those on whom his favor rests. Can you imagine that? On that hillside at night, expecting it to be a normal night. And then all of this takes place from one angel to a host of angels and this story that's almost so unbelievable, but it's undeniable because of the way that it's unfolding and happening. And they're praising God. The angels are praising God for the news that they are to deliver. This last part, though, peace upon those whom God's favor rests. While Jesus and his coming into this world to be the sin offering and redeemer is a message for all people, not all people will receive it. Not all people will believe it. Not all people will reject it, but many will. And here we see that the favor of God, God's hand of favor, is upon the life of those, and they have peace. We talk about the pandemic, we talk about the political change, and all that's true, and it gets people worked up, and we get stressed out, and we argue, and we battle on Facebook, and it's so easy to get caught up into, where's the world going, what's going to happen, am I going to get sick, am I going to pass it on, am I going to die, what's going to happen to me, what's going to happen to the world, all that stuff. But God's peace, for those that have received and believed in Him, they have a unique peace, a peace that surpasses understanding. I care about those things, but in the big picture, I don't really care. God is sovereign. And just as He prophesied about the coming of His child, the Christ child, God's got it all worked out, and that's okay with me. We may have to go through some things that are unbearable, things that we wouldn't want to. But am I going to rail and scream and battle and fight and yell against something that God wants to bring about in this world? No, I don't want to go against God that way. That's the way God works. All I know is, if you want His peace, you have to have His favor. And if you want His favor, you have to receive and to believe the good news that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world. That He and He alone can bring about the peace between you and God that you must have so that you can have salvation, or you're doomed. God's peace is there. When the angels had left them, they'd gone back into heaven. The shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was in the manger, just as they had been told. I think of this scene, just a humble family. You know, Mary and Joseph, she a young girl, he an insignificant carpenter that God chose to work through. And now you have Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus in a manger, and you have shepherds showing up, and these are the faces that are around the manger. And they're beautiful faces. As much as Mary had been told by the angel Gabriel, there's so much that she didn't understand, so much that she would have to learn. And the same was true of Joseph. The same is true of the shepherds. But the one thing they knew, that this was a miraculous and wonderful moment. This story, this historical story, is basically a word to mankind that says, God uses the things that no one cares about to do the greatest things in the world. Nobody cared about a shepherd. Nobody cared about a baby. Nobody cared about a young girl that was pregnant. They just didn't care. Nobody cared about Bethlehem. It's significant, but God uses the little things to do magnificent things. When they had seen Him, the text says, they spread the word concerning Him wherever they went. And they were all amazed who heard the story. And the shepherds went away praising God. So the angels bring the good news. And they bring it with thanksgiving and praise. And by the time this part of the story ends, we have shepherds sharing the good news, going back to their flocks, and they're praising God. And Mary is just storing up all of this in her heart, wondering about these amazing things that she has seen take place. I hope and I pray for you today in your personal relationship with the Lord, that He has touched you so deeply with all of His promises, but especially this promise, that it will spur you on year after year to remember God's love and to speak into a world of darkness and a world that would reject this truth, that today in the town of David a Savior's been born, that you would be inspired and empowered by the Holy Spirit to thoughtfully and cautiously be used by God to spread the good news. Would you pray with me? Oh, Father in heaven, we are so thankful for the Bethlehem story and the shepherds. We thank you, Lord, for doing things your way and not ours, because your way is so much better. And especially during this Christmas season, Lord, I just pray that people everywhere would look to this scene and allow what your Spirit does, draw them near. We love you, Heavenly Father. We thank you for Jesus. And we ask your blessing. It's in His name we pray. Together we say, amen.
All right, church, we got one more song today. You might need to stand up at home to do it. If the kids took a break during the sermon, get them back. Get ready to clap, get ready to stomp, because we're going to have a little country fried Christmas with you. So here's how it goes.
Well, shepherds kept their watches, or silent flocks by night. Behold, throughout the heavens, there shone a holy light. Go tell it on the mountain, over the hills and everywhere. Go tell it on the mountain that Jesus Christ is born. Shepherds feared and trembled when low above the earth rang out the angel chorus, then hailed the Savior.
Wish you all a Merry Christmas, and we invite you on December 24th to join us for our Christmas Eve service at 8 p.m. We look forward to our candlelight Christmas Eve service every year, and we are thankful that this will be the only year that we have to do it this way, but it will be unique, and we ask our Lord to bless it. So don't forget, 8 p.m. Christmas Eve, get on Facebook for our live stream of the Christmas Eve service. God bless. Say it with me. Stay close to the Lord and stay in His Word. Have a great day.